Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. KSJE is supported by San Juan Regional Medical Center, here to meet your urgent and emergent medical needs, whether they are COVID-19 related or not. Medical emergencies happen when you least expect them. Whether it's a stroke, heart attack, illness, or injury, San Juan Regional Medical Center's caregivers are here to provide care to you and your loved ones. Find out more online at sanjuanregional.com. Ten minutes past 8 o'clock. It is Wednesday morning, October 13th. Good morning, everybody. I'm Scott Micklin. Thanks for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM over the air here in San Juan County, New Mexico. If you're listening in Durango, Colorado, no doubt you are tuned in to 103.3 FM. And if you're listening anywhere else on the planet Earth, I'm talking to you, William Shatner, you're probably listening to us off of our website, ksje.com. Glad to have you with us, everybody. Also, our viewers, because this is a visual radio program, so welcome the viewers who are watching this live video streaming out to the KSJE Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and our Twitter account. We are glad that you are with us this morning, everyone, because this morning my guest is the new chaplain at San Juan Regional Medical Center. Linda Stetter is here. We'll be talking with her about her job, what she brings to the job, and much, much more. That conversation begins in the next few moments right here on KSJE. Then later on this hour at 8:50 a.m., Ron Price will be stopping by to give us another lesson about life in the sandbox. Today, Ron is talking about the XYZ technique, so stay tuned to hear more about that coming up later on this hour. Mick Cass will take us roving with the arts coming up at 9:06. It's a special 90-minute version of Roving with the Arts, and so we hope you'll stay tuned for that. Symphony Fantastique is one of the selections that Mick is playing for us this morning, and that'll take us to 10:30, and right on Four Corners, our local and regional author program, Tracy Hales-Vass is speaking with the two authors, Sandy Hoover and Don Tritton, who you see on the screen right now, about their latest collaboration together called Panama's Gold, A Tale of Greed. You'll hear more about that book coming up today at 10:30 right here on KSJE. Don't forget, in addition to Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, we invite you to connect with us on our social media platform of Instagram as well. And if you're a podcast person, you can discover KSJE podcasts on all the favorite podcast apps like iTunes and Spotify and Pandora and iHeart and much, much more. So wherever you get your podcast, you can subscribe to KSJE Podcast for free and those popular platforms as well. Let's talk about the weather forecast, shall we, right now? As we always tell you that visual radio can take you places, we take you to Telluride yesterday where the snow had fallen. Winter has arrived number two at Wolf Creek today. This is the scene at the top of the Wolf Creek ski area where the snow is blowing around as the sun rises to the east. Currently, it is about 16 degrees at the summit of Wolf Creek ski area on their way to a high today of 20 after an overnight low of 12 degrees with a partly sunny day in the forecast. For us, we are expecting a sunny day here in Farmington today with a high of 53 and a low of 34. 54 degrees tomorrow, 54 again with sunshine on Friday. A bit warmer for the weekend with a high of 63 on Saturday and 68 by Sunday, but overnight lows, as you can see, slowly trying to warm up after a cold night tomorrow, maybe about 29, 30 on Friday night, 37 on Saturday, 44 for an overnight low on Sunday. Outside our studios right now, sunshine in Farmington, 39 degrees outside of our studios here at San Juan College. Well, let me turn to my guest, who has been patiently waiting for me to introduce her officially this morning, and it's great to have her here in the studio with me, the new chaplain, as I mentioned, for San Juan Regional Medical Center, the Reverend Linda Stetter. Welcome to KSJE and welcome to Farmington.
Good morning, Scott, and thank you for having me on the show. It's a beautiful, beautiful sunrise out there this morning.
Right, it certainly is, and this is about your three-month anniversary at the hospital.
That's right. Yesterday was my three-month anniversary.
Congratulations. I didn't get your card or anything. I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
Okay.
That's okay. You put me on the show. That's even better.
We have you on the show. That's true. But you are no stranger to San Juan County, because we were talking that you grew up not too far away from San Juan Regional Medical Center, just down the road in Aztec.
I did. I grew up in Aztec. My brother was actually born at what was the little four-room house that became San Juan Regional Hospital in 1950. So we grew up in Aztec. Our dad was an oil field worker like many other people here. And so inevitably we got transferred before we went to high school. And from there, adult life happened after high school and college. And I made quite a circuit around the country. It's taken me a while to get back home, but it's good to be here.
Very good. Well, welcome home.
Thank you very much.
Glad to have you here. And one thing we wanted to talk about was your job at San Juan Regional Medical Center as a chaplain, but you were telling me too that you refer to yourself and your career is referred to as a professional chaplain, which is a bit more to it than just being a chaplain, correct?
Correct. We all know of many kinds of chaplains in the world. There are police chaplains, there are healthcare chaplains, there are military chaplains. But in the world of healthcare, those of us who are called to do this as a vocation have quite a bit more training above and beyond what many have. So we're known as professional healthcare chaplains, and we have special ecclesiastical endorsements that guarantee that we have a certain skill set. And many of us are board certified, just like physicians are.
Right, right. And one of the things you were telling me, too, is that you have taken it upon yourself to reach out to all of the local clergy in the area to be able to help them when they come to the hospital to visit a patient or things along that line. Tell us a little bit about that.
That's right, Scott. One of the big joys of this job is not just to get to know the hospital community, but the wider community. And so when I come to a community, I literally spend a year or two worshiping in every church in town that I can find and getting to know.
It may
the
take
clergy.
You 3 years in
I
this
could
town.
Could be, yeah. But that's okay.
We have a
I
lot.
Hear a lot of good sermons. I get a lot of encouragement. I get my tanks refilled for the next week. Get to meet a lot of amazing clergy people and congregations who are doing incredible mission work in town. And I believe that understanding them, their theology, their approach to their health and their faith helps me be a better chaplain.
Right. And I would think it would help them, too, when they are coming to the hospital to visit, as I said, one of the patients there, to be able to know that you are available to help them, to show them where they need to go or whatever the case may be.
Correct. It's so nice to have a face to go with a position so that you don't feel like you're coming to such a strange place, because even though the hospital is a part of our community, and even though we might want to come there for health care and need to, it still can be a very disconcerting experience. And so having a familiar face, knowing that there's a chaplain that you can call if you have worry, if you are anxious, if you are concerned for a family member, if you just have questions about your care and there's no one else you feel comfortable asking, dial up the chaplain, call the hospital operator and say, send me the chaplain, and I'll come over and we'll have a conversation and see what we can do.
Very good. And of course, you are also available for families of patients who are at the hospital or patients themselves who are at the hospital. And that must keep you pretty busy, I would think.
It does. It does. We've been averaging about probably 150 patients a day. And so that keeps me on roller skates, rounding on patients. But a large part of my mission of compassion is to round with families, too, and to sit with families at times of family meetings or just answer questions when they need to help their loved ones make important decisions and they need to understand just a little bit more about their own faith tradition and clarify their own values and how that's working with the medical world to do what's really the best for them, for their families, for their loved ones.
Sure. And I would think that there are some families maybe who are at San Juan Regional Medical Center and maybe the patient is unable to communicate as well as they would like, so the family members are there and maybe they're not as religious maybe as the patient is, But I imagine they still reach out to you, and you're still able to help them and be a resource for them, aren't you?
Yes, Scott, that's true. And when someone is a patient who cannot speak for himself or herself, and they would have had particular religious needs, have they been able to express those, then one of the things I can help a family do is understand what that patient would have wanted, what they would have asked for, and help them navigate getting that particular care, even though it might not be something that the family would want for themselves. The patient is the focus.
And that's true for all religions, all denominations. You work to fulfill whatever the patient or the family is coming to you with to figure out what to do, right?
Right. And that's a big part of a professional chaplain's training. We do about 2 years of hospital residency, just like doctors do, on top of our master's degree, on top of our ordination. And a large part of that is learning about the 1,500 plus Protestant denominations in this country, all of the Orthodox, all of the other denominations like Buddhism, like Islam, like Judaism, even some really rare ones like Jainism, which is rare in this country, but it does exist, and it's an old faith tradition that goes way back to the time of the Egyptians, many centuries before Christ. So we are trained to honor and understand all of the faith traditions of the people who come to us, and to help them reconnect with what is meaningful and spiritual to them, because quite frankly, being ill, being in a hospital, can disconnect people from their spiritual grounding, and so we're there to plug them back in.
Right. And I would think the opposite happens too, maybe on occasion. Maybe folks who haven't been connected to their religion over the years, now they're facing maybe a life and death health crisis, and they are suddenly wanting to reach back out and reconnect with maybe the church they went to as a kid, or where, however long it's been.
I actually see a lot of that toward the end of life. People tend to go back to the faith traditions, even if they've gone to another faith tradition in adulthood or later life. They tend to go back to the faith traditions that rooted them as children. So that's true. That's very true.
Interesting. My guest this morning is the Reverend Linda Stetter. She is the new chaplain at San Juan Regional Medical Center. And it's, again, great to have you here on your three-month anniversary almost, starting in middle of summer. And so talk to me a little bit about some of the other things. I imagine, well, and I think we talked about this before we came on the air too, that you sometimes have to have some difficult conversations with families, or maybe you are a person that a family can have a difficult conversation with because you're kind of that outside neutral party in some of these decisions or conversations that have to be made.
Yes, I'm not a medical person. And so when I'm sitting in a meeting with the family and the nurse and the doctor and maybe one or two other experts, and they're giving people the medical facts, then I can watch the family closely. I can start to see on their faces what they're understanding, what they're not understanding, questions that they have for the doctor, and maybe questions that they're trying to formulate and they're not quite sure why. So sometimes I can ask those important questions on behalf of the family, but other times then I can take the medical information and have the conversation in the presence of the doctors and the nurses and the other caregivers about what the patient life was like, what quality of life means to that person, what that person would have wanted from a faith perspective, and then we can truly find that ground that serves the whole person, because we believe in whole person care at San Juan County, or at San Juan Regional Hospital. We believe in whole person care, and that means, yes, taking care of their bodies, but also taking care of their minds and their spirits as well.
Right, and that's an important part, too, of the work that you do and others in that capacity at hospitals across the country. We talked, too, a little bit about ethical situations that come up from time to time, and that's another resource that you can provide that families can maybe ask you about, or bounce some things off of you, or at least have those conversations about some of these things that they're facing, too.
Right, and certainly with the virus going on with COVID, there are all kinds of ethical questions that families might be asking. They may not realize it's an issue of ethics, but it does have ethical underpinnings. And that's when we all have to put our very best medical and spiritual minds together to make really sure that we're giving people the care that is ethical for their understanding of quality of life, that is ethical for the medical profession, and that would be understood as ethical to honor the cultural place of the patient and family, because we work with a lot of cultures here too.
Right, and that's an important part of the work that you do, and to be able to offer that service to these families that are coming to you, and patients for that matter. And so talk to me too a little bit about the caregivers, because that's another whole maybe different aspect of your job that we don't always think about. We think about how chaplains work with patients and families and all those things, but I think what's come to mind, especially during COVID, is just the immense stress and workload that all of our healthcare providers and caregivers have been under. And we were talking too, I think we're in what, the fifth surge in San Juan County of COVID cases. And so it just is unfortunately unrelenting for these folks who are on the front lines at the hospital and at other places. And so working with your colleagues, your coworkers, I guess, is a big part of your job as well.
Right. Working with the patients is the traditional role of a chaplain. But in the last 20 years, a paradigm called workplace chaplaincy has emerged, in which chaplains work in the same way with their colleagues to maintain their spiritual strength, because they're whole persons too. And like you said, I got here just in time for the fifth wave of COVID, and I am bearing witness to how exhausted our caregivers are on all levels. Every caregiver in that hospital, no matter their role, is exhausted from going through four of the surges and now the fifth one. And like you say, it's just unrelenting, and we've had yet another uptick in COVID in our area. And so what I have to say about that is, if you know a caregiver who works in healthcare anywhere, if it's a hospital, if it's a doctor's office, we are stretched beyond human imagining. So if you know a caregiver, love on them a little bit, give them a hug, give them a big word of encouragement. If you're in a place where you can send a card, and let's face it, every single one of us has been touched by a doctor or a nurse or another caregiver at the hospital. Sometimes the conversations we have with our housekeeping staff are some of the most precious ones that patients can experience while they're in the hospital. And so if you've had a good experience and you've been kind of meaning to get around to send a thank you, now would be a really good time just to send a card to the hospital so that we can circulate it. I think words of encouragement and support are absolutely what is going to sustain us through this time. So it would be great to have posters, cards, whatever you can think of to do, phone calls to let us know that you're thinking about us, that you care about the work we do, that you appreciate us. That would go a long ways to sustain our caregivers.
What a great piece of advice for folks who are listening and watching us this morning. And I think, you know, all of us are kind of tired of COVID. I certainly admit that. But I can't imagine how tired the caregivers are of dealing with the surge after surge of patients and doing their very best each and every day to help each of those patients that are presenting to them. So great advice. And we know there was a lot of efforts at the beginning of this to thank our caregivers. And I don't know if there's maybe as much as there used to be, but there should be.
There needs to be, especially now with this most recent uptick. We're working short staff. And that's true all across the country and around the world. We are in about the third year of the worst international shortage of nurses in human history. Most people don't understand that the shortage is global. And we know that another 500,000 RNs are going to retire this year. So that brings me to the other thing I want to say, and how good it is to be on a college campus this morning.
Right.
And because this college is a gift to this community. So if there's anybody out there that's been thinking about doing a health profession that feels called and just hasn't walked through the door to find out how they can apply and get training, go for it. The field is wide open. We have never needed caregivers more than we do now. And there are a lot of fields that you probably haven't even thought about that just might be your passion. to do. So we would love to have people take advantage of the nursing programs, the phlebotomy programs, anything to do with imaging, medical, whatever it is in healthcare. Medical assisting in doctor's offices, it's a great place to be. And we have the place for people to start here in town.
We sure do. A little plug for Samhain College. So thank
Absolutely.
You. Thank you for that. And it's a great partnership, I would add, with Samhain Regional Medical Center, who has helped get that program off and running, some of our nursing program and the other programs that you mentioned that are right here to get started at here at Samhain College. So thank you for that. And I would imagine, too, as we talked about this, that it's not just hospitals with chaplains these days. We were talking, too, that other businesses have seen the light, if you will, of having a chaplain on staff, because there are things maybe that you can talk to an employee about that, as you said to me, an HR person, maybe it's off limits.
That's true. There, like I said, there's a new paradigm emerging called workplace chaplaincy. Companies like Tyson Foods, at last count, I think they have 125 part-time chaplains on their staff. They have one to match every ethnicity that works in their plant, every faith tradition who is available to their workforce. There is a car parts remanufacturing company in Detroit that has a CSO, Chief Spiritual Officer, and his job is to go around and find out why people are missing work. So he has handled all kinds of child care solutions, all kinds of immigration solutions, all kinds of transportation issues that keep people from coming to work. And so putting those people back in, diminishing turnover, keeping families together, keeping families fed, it adds to the bottom line, because you get people back, they're happy, they're healthy, and they're productive, and it makes a big difference in companies.
Right. Seems like it is, and that's interesting to hear about, that even in a non-medical setting, right, there are resources being put into the profession that you represent this morning. I want to go back and talk a little bit about your interaction with patients and families, and sometimes it seems, in talking with you before we came on the air this morning, that you're kind of a customer service representative with folks maybe who may just don't know where else to turn, and so they can call you sometimes.
They can, and one of the things I've been very impressed with by San Juan Regional is that it truly is a community hospital, community run. That's extraordinary in the world of healthcare, where small hospitals keep getting gobbled up by big systems. So it's a jewel in this town. I hope people appreciate how special it really is. And one of the really special things we have at the hospital is a department called Patient Experience. And they try very, very hard to listen to patients and to resolve any issues they have about their experience, their care at the hospital. But that being said, still occasionally people will disclose things to chaplains that they will not tell anybody else, because they trust the confidentiality. They trust us to discreetly gather the people who need to help handle the situation and get it resolved in a way that lends dignity to everybody concerned. So yes, I work very closely with the patient experience people as a liaison, and with medical staff as well.
And you don't mind people reaching out to you if they feel like they've exhausted all other avenues?
Absolutely not. My plan is to make myself as accessible to patients and caregivers in the community as I can. So all you have to do, I'm the only chaplain there. You don't even have to remember my name. You just have to dial up the hospital operator and say, I need to talk to the chaplain. And those operators are awesome. They always know where I am.
And that's a lot of places.
That's
it
a
sounds
lot of places,
like. So,
but they know. They can track me down.
Very, very good. That's good to know. The other thing before we run out of time this morning is to talk a little bit about some of the needs that you have, that the hospital has, and how we can maybe help to fill some of those.
Sure. Like I say, the biggest need is just encouragement.
Okay.
And
mm-hmm.
anybody can do that.
True.
You don't have to be an expert to say thank you, to remember a time. I was thinking this morning on the way over here, often when we're born, the first person to touch us is a doctor, a midwife, a nurse. So literally, I can't know of anybody who can't say that they haven't been touched by a doctor or a nurse at an important time in their life. And so just that encouragement would be tremendously helpful. Prayers from all of the churches, please. We hope everyone will pray for us during this time and pray for your own people who are sick. In my personal ministry, I need prayer shawls. So anybody out there who can knit or crochet, who can do adult-sized prayer shawls, please do so and bring them to us. You can bring them to the front desk for me. They know what to do with them. You can bring them to volunteer services. We have a small nucleus of very dedicated knitters and crocheters out there, but we need more because people are more seriously ill than ever. And there is absolutely nothing on the planet that is more comforting than a prayer shawl that you know somebody who doesn't even know you loved you enough to make to cover you in prayers. So that's a huge need for my particular ministry. And I think the other thing every caregiver, if you ask every caregiver what they would wish for, they would wish for people to stay safe, to do whatever it takes to keep themselves safe as the pandemic goes on, as the flu season revs up. We know that it's the cold season, the RSV season, it's the ski season where we have accidents. All of those things up on Wolf Creek, like
yeah,
you
right.
say, yeah,
yes.
are going to be happening. And our best wish for everybody, whatever your understanding of the virus is, I think of it as a grizzly bear, a very hungry grizzly bear. And none of us would walk up and slug a hungry grizzly bear. We would want to stay away from it. And so whatever your strategy is, whatever your understanding of that is, to make yourself safe from the virus in particular, and not to let it get a hold of you, because it is a very hungry virus.
Right.
It will attack anybody.
We've seen it.
It's in its way. We've seen it.
Yeah.
We know it.
And I would almost add, if you don't mind me adding to your analogy, that it's maybe an invisible grizzly bear.
Oh, it's a little tiny invisible grizzly bear, but it can
still
do
hungry.
Huge damage, and it's very voraciously hungry, and all of its buddies are too. So I think we would love to know that we don't have to see you right now because you're staying well, you're staying protected. If you want to do something awesome for the hospital, do that.
There you go. And we've heard the stories from other parts of the country, even other parts of New Mexico, that some hospitals are overwhelmed because their beds are filled with COVID patients, and the COVID patients are getting the care that they need. Mm-hmm. But then other folks that show up with a broken leg or some other issue that they need to be in the hospital or have a hospital bed, there's no room for them. And so that's been some of the issues that we've seen in other parts of the country, and we're very grateful that we haven't had to deal with that here. But I can't imagine the juggling that goes on inside the halls at the hospital to avoid a situation like I described.
We work very hard. The leadership team, the nurse managers, the nurses on the floors rock and roll. They move on a minute's notice depending on the census of any unit. Halfway through the shift, they have been amazingly brilliant sports at moving around to where their hands and their hearts are needed the most. And you're right, every day I round on the emergency room, and there are always 7 to 12 people waiting for beds in the emergency room. And you're right, the ICU is full of COVID patients, and then we have a second floor that's an ICU for non-COVID patients. So we are stretching resources to the max to stay accountable and able to care for the people in our community who need it. I'm amazed at this hospital. It has many more what we call service lines than most small regional hospitals, and so we are all non-clinical people are going up to the floors to support the clinical people however they can, so their hands and hearts are freed up to do the job with the patients. And so we are giving it all we have, and we set the tiredness aside, and we set any personal issues aside that we come to the hospital with, and we stay laser focused on the care that our community needs.
Good to hear. And we thank you for that, you and everyone who works with you. Reverend Stitter, thank you for coming in this morning. It's been a pleasure to meet you and to have our first conversation on the radio together, the first of many, I hope.
I hope so, too. Thank you so much for having me in and for letting me talk about what I do.
Well, we can tell that you love what you do, and we thank you for bringing it to our community. So welcome and thank you. We'll see you again soon.
Thank you, Scott.
You're very welcome. Mm-hmm. The Reverend Linda Stetter, she is the new chaplain, San Juan Regional Medical Center, my guest here on KSJE. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.